There's no echo?
Nope, no echo. No, everything's good.
Okay, great, good. Okay. Yeah, because I'd like to use this if we do a group, if we're ever able to do a group video or hang out with that Wednesday night group. They're all really looking forward to being able to do that with you sometime. Hopefully we can work that out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's good. So are you okay?
Yeah, doing well. We had our group last night, and we actually we had never gone over the whole concept of the chambers of the heart.
Yeah.
So we listened to Ian's message on that, and then we segued right into your going up session that you did with the Burning Ones back in December, where you showed all the pictures and everything, and you did it through the garden. So since we've never really talked about that concept, and Ian obviously mentions it quite a bit, and you have too, we listened to that message first, and then we segued into it, and everybody just so enjoyed it. They were like, we got to do that again.
Yeah. And that is a good thing, because it's like these exercises aren't one-offs. They're things you can go back over and continue to get more insight and revelation in. And the more you encounter it, the deeper the revelation goes and the more transformation that takes place. So, you know, these are those things that I do tend to just open a door, and then people can just go back and engage and re-engage and re-engage. Once you've had one experience, that then becomes the anchor that allows you to get future experiences, which is great. So that sounds really excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good there.
And I especially love having the pictures that you put up there. A couple people asked me, where does he get those pictures? Do you create them yourself? Or?
No, I would love to be creative enough to develop those things. I basically just do a Google search and see what I can come up with. And a lot of them are just stuff that's been posted here, there, and everywhere. And I think a lot of things, yeah, I mean, there's some good stuff out there that, you know, you got to find the right search sort of string to connect up with some of them. But yeah, I think it helps, because for those who have no problem engaging, that's great. But sometimes a picture can just spark a connection, just open up the area of the imagination to just enter into something. That's really, I mean, Jesus talked in parables, which were word pictures, so people could relate to the parable of the sower, of the farmer, or the fishing, or the different things, because it anchored them to something. It's like, oh yeah. And I think this is the same, really. I think what people probably don't want is just look at us when we're just with our eyes closed. That ain't going to really engage too much. So I thought, well, actually, if I'm doing more of this, I will look to just put some things up there, which will, if anyone then is struggling to enter, they can maybe just look at that, or that might open thing. Because most of the people probably aren't aware of they're up there, but anyone who's looking at it afterwards, then, you know, they can see that, and it might spark an engagement or something. So, yeah, I've got a file, a PowerPoint thing with about 80 different images in of different things that I sort of can connect up one way or another sometimes when I'm doing it. It's good.
That's good. Well, so in this manual or this thing that you're creating, will you have exercises like that in it, or yeah, will you?
Yeah, I'm. What I'm planning to do is to try and produce the manual, which will have all the written exercises and different things and links to, and then I'm going to try and do a interactive PowerPoint in which people can click on the icon, and then it will go to play the music and put the pictures as a screen show, so that people can actually use it to engage, you know, and I will record, you know, I've got some stuff where I've recorded over music. So it's me in the background, just sort of speaking some things with music in the background that people can use to just, in the initial stages, to you know, open the eyes of their heart, or to practice the meditation, and you know, the sort of just engaging with Jesus on the beach or that type of thing, just to sort of get the connection going, really. So yeah, I am working on it, but it's obviously quite a task. And you know, I've been doing more hangouts, so I can't say I'm making a huge amount of progress at the minute. And also, at the beginning of the year, you know, I've got 5 sessions here where I'm sort of sharing vision, and I know that's not just for here; it's sort of a wider thing as well. So I'm taking some time to do that, and that's sort of, you know, I'm hoping next week to be able to get to it. So start. You know, I've got the basic outline, but I just need to pull out together all the exercises and all the different things that go. And then, of course, you know, I've encountered some new places, which then I have to start incorporating. Well, where's this? You know, the thing with wisdom on the heights and that. So, well, where is that? Where's that in heaven? You know, so I've sort of tried to connect up with that, and then that will be another slide, really, another pathway. This is where you go, because then when you engage with wisdom, you've got the doors there, that doors lead you to different places under the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, and it's like, oh, okay, now I need to find a thing how I can develop that and help people encounter there. So I think it will be really good once it's there. I've got the outline, and of course I've got most of the exercises anyway, because I've done them previously. I just have to pull it all together into a format that really works and is sort of people can follow properly, but I am working on it. So
wow, yeah, that, oh boy, that's going to be so awesome. We thank you so much for all that you're doing. Definitely.
Okay, you're welcome. So have you got anything specific today you want to?
Well, yeah, first of all, I listened to your both of your latest, I guess it's your Sunday morning sermon or whatever it is you're doing, where you're casting the vision and part one, part two, and boy, those are just awesome. I know it's some of it's related specifically to your church, but it just really really helped open up for me and my wife, and I've been sharing some of it with the group too, all about it. And the thing that's really, I don't know, I just feel it so much in my spirit. I guess it's that frequency or that sound. It's this whole concept of government and ruling and everything that's involved in that, like the benches and all of that kind of stuff. And I did. I have not yet connected with what's her name, Paula. I think you said. Yeah. I asked to join, but maybe my email got lost or something. My wife did, and she got in, but I haven't gotten in yet. But I did listen and watch the one you did with her, where she was asking a lot of questions about the Bench of Three and how it functions and operates, and that is really some of the stuff I wanted to talk about today, just to get a little more understanding and a little more clarity, you know, especially since, so if you have any insight on that or any more that you'd like to talk about, I mean, I guess I'm kind of tailoring it or asking you to talk about it concerning like this little group that we have, although it's not so little anymore. We had actually over, I think we had 24 people there last week. It's they're just, everybody's so excited about it, and more people want to come, and we keep hearing more people want to come. But the whole thing about how do we get established to begin doing this ruling and to begin doing the you know, the lordship and the kingship and sonship and I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to again, go back to the going up to heaven, because a lot of people, they're so new to going up to heaven that once you get into the rulership stuff, you don't know how to go and get the mandates and get it approved and all of that. So there's a lot to it. And so where would you suggest someone starts? How would you teach it and go into it? I'm asking a whole bunch of questions here, but...
I'll answer the things about the Bench of Three and the things I'm seeing. What I've seen on New Year's Eve, I had a vision of the world, and I saw the world spinning as a globe, and I saw benches of three being set up around the world. And I actually saw the world then stop. It stopped spinning. It was spinning clockwise, I think, and it stopped. And then it began to spin anti-clockwise. And I was sort of like, what does that mean? Because sometimes these things can be pretty cryptic. But I felt in my heart, really, that it was really about this authority structures, government being established around the world that is going to bring to a halt what the enemy is doing in lots of things, and restart things in a new direction to bring a whole different level of government from the kingdom, from heaven into earth, to bring transformation and change in certain areas and in certain things. So I feel that God wants to establish these connections. Now, for me, these things have to be relational. We can't do them in the old order, which are structural things, trying to set up structures and control systems and things. It's got to be relational. And so for me, all I'm looking to do is help, support, and release those people who feel called. I feel that the sound of heaven that's being released, and this frequency, this sound, which is wooing people, drawing people, that really is the key to making the relational connections. Who's hearing this sound? Now, who's responding to the cry of creation that's being released, the groan? And who's hearing the sound that's coming out of heaven looking for a realignment of the sons of God back to their original purpose and function? So I feel that there are a number of prophetic voices and people who are issuing this sound, or part of connecting with this sound, hearing the sound. I mean, I think, you know, the book, The Physics of Heaven, you know, it's got a number of people in there. They're talking about this sound, this frequency, this vibration. They're almost talking about it from the point of, this is going to be a second Pentecost. And I know I heard in one thing, you know, the first Pentecost is just 10%. This is going to be 100%. And so that's pretty exciting stuff. And so the vibration of the frequency of this sound is the same sound frequency of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters that brought everything back into created order and brought recreation into place. And so, you know, that deep darkness which is over the earth and things like that, then, you know, arise, shine, the light has come. You know, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. There's a whole order that's being called into connection, back into sonship, which I believe is about this sound, this frequency, and it will be, what we've received so far is just like a little breeze, and this is coming like a mighty rushing wind. You know, because it was like they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't that there was a mighty rushing wind. So there's something about the sound. And I think it's something like the same sort of sound that's like the sound of the deep, waterfalls, deep calling out to deep, at the sound of my waterfall. And that waterfall contains all the frequencies of God, you know, the deep frequencies, the high frequencies, and all the other electromagnetic frequencies and wavelengths which we do not perceive as in our normal human existence. Our spirit is starting to connect. And I believe there's going to be a restoration of those abilities to perceive and connect up with those sound frequencies and connect up with the things that God's doing and releasing supernatural abilities with light and sound. That's a restoration of what happened with Adam, and what Adam had before the fall, and what he would have had subsequent if he hadn't have fell. And I think there's a whole thing where this sound is being released, and it is calling people to an intimacy with God, but with the responsibility of sonship that comes with it. And I think many people have had wonderful encounters with God and have felt his presence and have entered into deeper levels of intimacy and different things over many, many years. But those people, it's like, are almost hidden people, faceless people. They're not necessarily the great world leaders or the people who are writing books, or they're people just no one knows about, no one's heard of, but they're hearing this sound. And I think, to be honest, a lot, it's almost like three notes come together and it forms a sound which is greater than it was individually. And I think those are the things that are, I'm looking for, a relational connection with people around this sound, so that I can help them in basically any way I can to try and help facilitate them understanding their call and their mandate and what God's wanting from them and for them and things like that. So there are certain things I think that will become apparent. You know, in terms of operating as a bench of three, which obviously comes from, you know, the pattern of heaven, Father, Son, and Spirit. It was the early Christian and the Hebrew method of bringing government and rulership and the judicial part of the kingdom, righteousness and justice. And, you know, in a sense, you had a sort of representation of that in the early church, where you had the apostles, and then they appointed the seven to administer. So the seven mountains underneath the three that were released by the three to fulfill their function and call. And I found that what I'm finding is that each three, whether that's in a church, whether that's in an era or a region, or even over a sphere of government. I mean, it's not necessary. We're not talking about regional things. I think that's the exciting thing about this. People can be connected over a calling to a particular area, you know, and they can bring government to that area. No one necessarily will ever know that they're doing it, but they will be used by God to release that area. And it could be areas like, I don't know, could be, say, family, or could be worship, or it could be finance. I don't, you know, it could be something to do with the seven mountains, you know, the sort of stuff that's going around, the seven mountains of culture, possibly. But I think so much wider than that. But each three will find a mandate and a scroll that releases what the seven mountains are for them, and then they then will look to call forth those that are there for those mountains. See, that the threes don't really operate within the seven mountains. They administer and facilitate the seven mountains, and they provide the apostolic blueprint for the seven mountains, but actually others are on those mountains. And what I've actually seen is that each of those mountains has a three, and then each of those mountains probably has seven more mountains, so that, you know, one area, let's say the area of worship, well, under that you could have seven more mountains with different aspects of how that would be outworked. Now, the exciting thing is, I've got no idea what those are, but when you engage heaven, you can go and get the scroll. You can get the revelation of what they are. You can get authorization. You can go to the court of angels, and you can get assignments. So each tree will have angels assigned. Each mountain will have angels assigned to them. Oh, it's a really, really exciting thing. But it's actually all relational. We're not looking to set up some structure that operates under me or anybody else. It's actually people hearing the call, receiving the call, and them administering the kingdom through the mandate that they're given and they receive. And that will be different if it's a church, in a group. I mean, your group, you guys are being called together, you're hearing the sound, it's being released, people are being drawn. Ultimately, you know, I'm not saying what it's going to become, but it will have government, because everything that God calls forth has relationship. leading to government. Now, I'm not sure what your government is. Maybe later we might, let's go and find the mandate and see what God says. You know, because we can go to the mountain. I've taken you to your mountain before. We can go from there. We can go to the courts or the scribes or something, and let's go and find out, what does it say? Let's get it. Because that's what we need to do. And the exciting thing about this is, all I would do is just open a door for someone to go and see and get their mandate. I'm not going to tell people what it is. I'm just here to facilitate them connecting. And then when they do, then you'll see mountains of seven, and you'll start to see what are the apostolic mandate that's been given for that, and we'll start to see how that begins to get released. And then, you know, each mountain that's got a seven will also have a three and a seven. This just basically releases the government of God's kingdom to help people fulfill their destiny, and all those destinies together come together to make part of God's overall destiny, which is to bring restoration, to bring a subduing and a dominion of heaven, to pattern earth after heaven. And so the spheres of government are just wide. There's so many, you know, and I think that's the great thing. Yeah, we're going to discover so many things that we didn't even realize were governmental spheres that God's got an interest in and God's got purpose in, that as we listen and respond to the call and are willing to embrace the destiny and the responsibility that comes with it, is going to release greater dimensions of the kingdom manifested on earth through people that have no reputation, that are not looking for position, that are not really bothered what anyone else thinks, who are just called. And for some of those, they may well have a regional perspective, and God may well also use them in different things. It may have something which is a physical manifestation, like a church. You know, you've got a group, you know, is it a church? Isn't it a church? Well, God will give you that as part of a mandate. Whatever it will be, it will be people called to a purpose. Well, what is church? Those gathered, the ecclesia, are those gathered for a purpose. And, you know, we have used the word church, and it's an English word which has no actual meaning in Greek. It's an Anglo-Saxon word, I think, or a Latin word somewhere, which is the Greek for it, ecclesia, which comes from an Old Testament, which is the kahal, which is the house, if you like, is really where these patterns of government come from, and they're heavenly patterns. You know, you've got the bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit. You've got the seven spirits of God. You then have the four living creatures, which I think that is becoming more of a pattern that God is releasing, and what the four is. And the four looks for three in agreement in heaven to release the fourth in agreement on earth, to open the windows of the doors of heaven to release blessing. And so there's revelation about the four faces of God, and there's revelation coming about the names of God and the letters of God's name, and the Yod and the He and the Vav and the He. And it's like, you know, the Yod comes out of heaven and the Vav goes back into heaven, and the Vav comes out of heaven and the Yod and the He goes back in. And there's this perpetual symbol of infinity coming in and going out, which is part of this sound and this frequency, which shows our dependence and bringing heaven to earth and going back into heaven and bringing it to earth and going back. It's a continual cycle of breath. So the Yod is breathing out. Just what Adam did when he first breathed, he didn't breathe in, he breathed out, because God had already breathed into him the breath of life. So he started the rhythm by breathing it out. Then what happens? He had to breathe it back in or he would die. And so we have to breathe back. We breathe out of heaven. We breathe back in heaven. We breathe out of heaven. We breathe back. It's a rhythm, which is this sound, this frequency, all part of the same thing, which very much opens up the understanding of God's name, of the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man. Seeing out of being in God, what it is to speak out through God, to look out through his eyes, along those perspectives, you know, those things that they represent, and what is that meaning? And there is so much more to come, I believe, in the revelation of that. You know, probably about 5 years ago, I saw that sign, that symbol, to start with. I saw this pyramid, if you like, structure, the base of the four faces, And I initially knew a little bit about it, but then over the past years, it's begun to unfold until this year, really connecting up with, you know, the four faces of God and the letters of God's name around the ark and this east, north, south, east, west, and it's just great. I mean, I'm really excited about exploring more of that and finding more of that. But it's again linked into this government and what God's going to do in this government, which is really, really exciting. So, you know, I think there are things where, you know, you have to be ruling on a mountain and have your mountain authority to be able to operate in a bench of three. Otherwise, you just operate earthly. You know, the old order is we operate horizontally, doing things here, trying to get God to come and recognize the things we're doing here. See, benches of three are people who are recognized in heaven. It doesn't matter whether they're recognized on earth. It doesn't really matter whether anyone knows who they are here. They're recognized by the Father in heaven, and they're recognized by the heavenly host, and therefore they are recognized in authority of government. And see, God is challenging the hearts of people who are called to this to make sure that everything's about him. It's not about us. It's not about our recognition. It's not about us getting our reward here for men. So the whole thing is not about being men pleasers. It's not about being those that are restricted by what people will say here or fearful of what people will say here or losing their reputation. That's why people are responding who've got no reputation. And God is willing to take the have-nots and use them to confound those that have. And as it says in 1 Corinthians there, you know, it talks about there, God chooses those that are, in a sense, from a worldly perspective, not very noble, to confound those who are noble and wise. And that's what this is about. Those who are willing to humble themselves under God's mighty hand, to accept the roles that they've been called into, and then for God to exalt them and God use them for his glory and to bring honor and glory to him and to see his kingdom established and the, you know, the continual extension of his government, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And you can imagine, if no one has been occupying the mountain thrones in heaven, how hard it's been to manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Now, more and more people are engaging in their mountains. How much easier it is for heaven to be manifested on earth because we have the government in place to do it. And so, you know, I think we're going to see an acceleration of things in this that, you know, is going to be preparation for what's coming, is going to be setting up the cities of refuge. Now, again, I don't think those cities of refuge are going to necessarily be just physical places. Some of them will be, but some of them will be places of protection under the governmental authority of the benches that are operating in heaven. And that may be regional, it may be area, but it will be relational, and people will be protected and safe and secure within the relationships that those cities of refuge represent, because they represent relationships, not just physical things. You know, I believe there may well be physical regions. I think in terms of when we see the harvest of harvesters coming, the picture of that in Scripture is really in with Joseph and operating in government in Egypt, because he was brought into government, a nobody out of prison, brought into government, given this awesome responsibility. What did he do? In the years that there were an outpouring of blessing, if you like, he took 20% of all the harvests and brought them into cities. And then those cities then became the storehouses for the release for when the 7 years of famine came, that not just blessed Egypt, but blessed the whole of the world, as it says, where this famine was. Now, in a sense, that resources were released. Now, I believe God is going to bring a 20% harvest. So that would be over a billion people who are going to be drawn into storehouses, apostolic resource centers, habitations of God, revival centers, all what you call them. Some of those will be physical, and some of them actually will be virtual. And that gives us so much more space for possibilities of what God's going to do, which I find, you know, really, really exciting. And I feel we're going to see an awesome harvest. And then those people are going to be equipped as harvesters. They're the generation that are going to be mentored by the Joshua generation. Those are the generation who are going to be ready to receive their supernatural mandates, their sonship, release the sons on the earth to bring in an end time harvest in spite of all the massive shaking that will be going on in the world, which will actually shake people's confidence in all the things of the world that they've been putting their confidence in, whether it's money, whether it's relationships, whether it's finance, whether it's government systems, whatever it might be. Those things are going to be shaken. So they're going to be looking, the world is going to be looking, this mountain of the house of the Lord being raised up above all the other mountains. Again, same symbolism, talking about God's people raised up above all the other mountains so that all the world will start to come to it. Hey, these are the guys who've got the answers. Hey, there's this plague that no one can cure. These aren't people aren't sick. Why? Because they know their God. And they're living under the protection of God's kingdom because they don't live under the kingdom of this world. We're just ambassadors of that kingdom to bring that into this world. And I think there's so much awesome things that God is going to release and cause us to be involved in and releasing that harvesting generation. You know, and that's part of what I feel I'm called to is to raise this Joshua generation among many others, I'm sure. To release them to be the mentors for when those harvest comes, that we're ready and we're able to provide the cities of refuge and the places, physical or non-physical, that will cause God's kingdom to bring restoration to the earth. And eventually, when we finish doing what we need to do, Jesus will return. And I'm looking forward to that, but I think there's plenty more to do before that's going to take place. You know, we've got a number of decades left. I know Ian has certainly been to 2057. And so, you know, that leaves a generation. Now, I think that's a significant thing. We've got at least another generation in which to raise up this generation and pass the baton to them and release them into bringing that awesome end time harvest and being the witnesses of heaven on earth and manifesting the kingdom on earth and living the supernatural, restored life that Adam should have lived on the earth, which will blow most people's minds, I think. And so, yeah, I feel that it's a privilege to be involved in this, and I'm just listening, looking for connections and for those chords to come together and things like that. And so I am being more proactive and putting more things out there because it's part of the sound. You know, I had to be obedient and start blowing the trumpet and calling the sound and releasing it from what God's given me to do so that I will see who resonates with some of that sound. And we'll then start to see who's going to come together and who's going to start working this out and how's that going to be manifested, you know. But in a sense, how does it work? Well, in a sense, you know who's called, and you'll find people will feel the call and they'll start to respond to the call, and then that's when you start dealing with the stuff, because the call will expose the stuff in us that will be a hindrance and a stumbling block to the call. And so there's transformation that God will put us through in pretty quick order, I think, which will deal with the issues of pride, self, anything which is a hindrance, anything which will rob God of his glory, he'll want to deal with in us so that we are set apart to bring him in holiness, walking on the highway of holiness and following these ancient paths that are going to open up. So yeah, pretty excited by it. I think, you know, we will start to need to, you know, be equipping people. That's why I really want to get this equipping track thing going and get this pathways going, because I feel that's part of the process that people will really start to engage in a lot. And, you know, and I think then, you know, helping people to find their mantles, their angels, connecting up with their mountains, you know, that's the bits where you really start to get stuck into it, which I think is great, and I'm looking forward to that a lot. So, yeah. So, okay, how does that... Does that give you some answers? You got any more questions around that?
Yes, that was excellent. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the filling in the details, like you just said, the helping people actually get their mountains, their mantles, you know, see their scrolls, know what those mandates are, and then to be able to help them facilitate it. Yeah, that's that's where we are, you know, on the ground trying to make it work and everything. So yeah, well, this is awesome. This is great.
That's good. I mean, let's go and step into some of it. It would be good to let's go and engage in heaven. Let's go and engage around the ark. Let's get engaged with the scroll and maybe go get to the record room and look to engage there so that we can see what God's saying. You know, at the end of the day, it's about what God says. You know, it's not about what I'm saying. I'm just here to open the way. So let's do it. Let's step in. I think it would be good to practically look to engage in that. So let's close our eyes. We know that heaven's open over us right now. We have an invitation to come up here. So we accept that invitation. We take that steps into the realm of heaven. We thank you for the doorway that's open in that realm. We come and step through the door into the realm of heaven. We thank you that Jesus, you're standing there waiting to take us by the hand. So we just take Jesus' hand as he takes us through the veils of the realms of heaven. To come and come before the ark of his presence in the Holy of Holies. And as we stand now before the ark, and as we begin to resonate with the frequency of the sound that's being released, and as we come with around the four faces of God, where we just begin now with the yod and the hey and the vav and the hey, yod, hey, vav, hey, yod, hey, vav, hey, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And as we begin to engage with that, we open our hearts that they could write on the tablets of our heart something deeper of our destiny, of the scroll within our hearts. As we begin to engage with that scroll that God's placed there, the calling and the purpose of God in that scroll. Just sense our hearts respond, be drawn to our calling, drawn to our destiny, drawn to take up responsibility as sons. And as we symbolically pick up the Aaron's rod, symbolic of the scepter of authority, to bring engaging in the call that God has for us. there Jesus takes us by the hand and takes us again through the realms of the kingdom into the scroll room, into that record room in the mountain of God. And he takes us to our scroll of destiny. And begins to unfurl it, where you can begin to see something of the mandate you have in the role of authority. Now, on that scroll for you, Peter, will be the mandate for the group and establishing a bench in heaven for that group. So we're going to take that mandate, and Jesus again takes us by the hand, and he takes us to the court of chancellors. We come before the bench and we present the scroll for your group that has revelation of its call and function, has revelation of the seven mountains, as you present it to the bench. Just sense in your heart that mandate being released and authorized. I see the scroll, and I see it authorized with the sign and seal of the lion and the ox and the eagle. Now we can take that scroll, take that mandate, and we can go to the heights in the realm of the kingdom of God, onto your heavenly mountain, onto your throne, where you take up your crown, your scepter, and your mantle. And now you have your mandate for your bench and for your mountains, and you can call forth, release the sound of heaven to call forth the two other of the bench of three for your group, where you release the frequency of the sound of the mountains for your group. And as you begin to think about those seven mountains as you begin to call forth those who will be called to administrate those mountains. So I want you to look and see if there's anything blocking, hindering, obstructing any of those mountains that you can see as you look down. Is there anything which is operating? It's where you might see dragons, giants, ogres, kings. Just be open to that. You know, as you release your mandate, as you release and call forth, those will be drawn to the sound. Now, I also believe that those who engage in the Bench of Three ministry need access to wisdom on the heights. So again, I'm going to ask Jesus just to come and take us by the hand and take us to the heights where the paths meet, where wisdom's presence, the pillar of wisdom, where the pathway and the way begins to meet. Now, I just encourage you to look, see wisdom, engage with her, look at her, feel her longing and her desire as she's been calling to you as a son of God, as a son of man. She calls to the sons of men, calling them to come to that place of engagement where she will begin to release to you. Protocols and revelation of the courts that you will need to use. So I encourage you to look into her eyes. Just feel the desire that she has to release revelation in the deeper things of the kingdom to you. She releases revelation of the paths. And she gives you access through the gates to the city, to access the thrones of God, the mountain of God, the runes within the mountain of God, everything you will need to fulfill your mandate, to fulfill your destiny, is to be found within the mountain of God, within the courts, and as wisdom, as you seek her, as you pursue her, she will call you and enable you to rule in kingship. She will enable those to also rule in as princes, as nobles, within the realms of the kingdom. Just feel the longing of her heart for you, and set the desire of your heart to pursue her. As God is setting this place to open the doors for you. Now we can just step back into this realm, bringing the record and the testimony of our encounter, and take it into the garden of our heart, and take it by the river of life, and plant those testimonies as seeds, and water those encounters with the scroll, with wisdom, with your mountains, and speak life to them as they grow and become the source of engagement for future encounters, the source that you can give the fruit to others that they would encounter. And you would take the mountains that you've experienced, and they would begin to form within the garden of your heart, so that heaven and earth overlap in you, and you become a gateway for heaven on earth. And you find that secret place within the garden of your heart to commune and to fellowship, to engage in intimacy, which always precedes rulership. And so you can combine the place of intimacy within your own heart with the encounters in the place of rulership in heaven, and align heaven with earth, and see heaven's government outworked on earth as it is in heaven. And now we can just step back into this realm. Okay. So, how did you get on with that?
Well, yeah, that's pretty intense. Wow, I need to go back and do that again and spend a little more time in different places. But yeah, that's very helpful. That's good.
Yeah, because basically, yeah, I'm just really opening up a doorway here for the encounters, and really, then, you know, that's what I would encourage you to go back, for you to go back into that place, get a clear understanding. What is the mandate? So you can see something clear about the mountains, you know. And then, you know, when you see the other two that you're going to find, you're going to be drawn to this sound in the bench of three. Then you can explore together, and you can go back into these places together, and you can then go together to present things before the different courts. You know, I've just sort of opened up one or two things there, but as you say, you go back into it, spend some time there, meditate onto things, get the fullness of what it is that God wants to reveal to you there, and then actually you go back to that mountain, start calling, start releasing your sound. Because you see, it's your sound that will draw the people to that bench that you represent. You know, bringing that apostolic blueprint and that revelation of that into your sphere, into what God's called you to function in. So, yeah. Okay.
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 Well, very good. That's very good.
Okay, awesome.
Well, okay, well,